Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. Take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, hey, oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be, and we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings, take care, to care.
Greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Hey, I know, hey, I know, we don't know, hey, 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 hey,
From Dene Navajo singer-songwriter Louis Goni, from his Canyon Records CD, Sacred Mountains, Meditation Songs from the Dene, and that particular song was entitled The Elders. Ashkwe, greetings and hello, everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Today's program is part two of my interview with Raven Lemoreaux Dodd, a coach with Coach Force. I wish to dedicate this program to Western Shoshone grandmother Mary Dan, who recently passed into the spirit world. As most listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know, the Dan family have been defending their sacred homeland, Nui Sogabia, from years of U.S. government harassment. Over the years, Wolf Mountain Radio has reported on the many incidents that the United States Bureau of Land Management have undertaken against the Dan's land. One example of BLM's outrageous actions is BLM's confiscation of the Dan's horses and livestock. United States Marshals have also threatened and arrested family members. Sisters Mary and Carrie and brothers Clifford and Richard have fought to maintain traditional Western Shoshone culture. The Dan's have stood up against United States violations of law, especially the Shoshone Treaties of Ruby Valley, which upholds their ancestral rights to their ranch land, what's now called Nevada. Nui Sogabia, the traditional homeland of Western Shoshone, is an arid region. This desert environment is a fragile ecosystem. For millennia, this land has flourished with a diversity of desert life due to the way in which indigenous peoples of this territory protected and cared for their land. The arrival of white settlers in control over the territory by the United States government has destroyed much of this sacred land. Nui Sogabia has been desecrated from uranium mining, from years of testing nuclear weapons, and from multinational companies raping the land for gold, silver, and other minerals. Pollution of the underground aquifer and excessive use, drawdown of aquifer water by industry and urbanization in this desert region is criminal. This impact to water in Nui Sogabia threatens the survival of native plant and animal life, as well as the Western Shoshone people. This is what the Dan family have been fighting to protect. Their struggle exemplifies what it means to honor Mother Earth. The passing of Mary Dan into the spirit world means a great loss to all of us who care for the well-being of all life, a great loss to indigenous people's struggle for sovereignty and self-determination. I dedicate today's program to the Dan family. If any of our worldwide listeners wish to send thoughts of condolence or wish to support the Western Shoshone, you can write to Western Shoshone Defense Project, P.O. Box 211-308, Crescent Valley, Nevada, 89821, USA. Again, in today's program, we focus on the subject of ceremony with a conversation with my studio guest, Raven Lamour Dodd. Raven has studied a number of different spiritual disciplines for more than 30 years. She founded and directs a counseling service entitled Coach Force, which helps people connect with their inner wisdom through personal ceremony. Ceremony is a way to connect to the spirit world. Most every culture around the world honors ceremony as a sacred foundation of one society. We indigenous peoples of what's now called North America try to honor our ancient spirit ways by following traditional ceremonies commonly referred to as the Red Road. Cultural ceremonial ways are very sacred. They must be greatly respected. Prayers and spiritual practice require serious and sincere commitment. Many of us in Indian country are very concerned about how some sacred ways are being misused and exploited, often for money, both by Native and non-Native people out in public. We here at Yad Kiddushin Native Center believe it is very important that indigenous peoples' cultural spiritual ways are more respected in the world. We feel that Native ethics and wisdoms are very much needed, especially now in the 21st century, where there are so many critical issues facing all life on Mother Earth. The indigenous belief of having reverence for life and being concerned for future generations is one important example that our ceremonies teach. I believe everyone can find and follow what I term their spirit heart, a spiritual life path through ceremony, both personal and community ritual. I myself respect many diverse traditional practices and what in English is often called beliefs. I have learned many good teachings from different faiths. I also feel it is a good thing for well-respected Native spiritual leaders to share traditional ceremony with those who show themselves to be sincere, respectful, and serious about honoring the Red Road. I do not believe spirit can be owned by any one culture. I have learned much from having the honor to participate in intercultural ceremonies that have been conducted by spiritual leaders authorized by their communities. Promotion of planetary peace, reverence for all life, respect and justice for all peoples, prayers for healing, are all important teachings from ceremony to be shared. However, I am concerned about how some so-called spiritual practices intermix religions and promote a kind of homogenized ritual. It is important not to misuse prayers and ceremonies or disrespect traditional people's cultural spiritual beliefs. Many of us in Indian country are concerned about fake medicine people who do misrepresent themselves in order to profit from hosting ceremonies, selling sacred items, or who promote themselves by writing books or speak for money about Native American spirituality. There are some very fine, well-recognized Native healers and teachers that are sharing important knowledge and to those we are very grateful to. I just wanted to mention the importance of being cautious about those who are not sincere or honest. Before we hear from today's guest, Raven, I also want to briefly mention the serious issue about how throughout the world many prayer sites, sacred lands, are being desecrated and destroyed. Energy and natural resource exploitation, pollution of air, land, and water, commercial industrial land use developments, and urbanization are some of the threats to sacred places. Many indigenous peoples often still have difficulty gaining access to sites or trouble being able to practice some ceremonies. The cultural survival of many traditional peoples depends upon the rights and ability to follow our traditional cultural, spiritual, ceremonial life ways. I also believe the survival of all humankind depends upon our species developing a planetary spiritual connection to each other and all life, or as we say in my native language, Kanon Wantoklasin, to all of our relations. I would like to now welcome Raven to Wolf Mountain Native Radio. In the studio today, a very beautiful sunny afternoon here in Pahayoki, what Seminole Miccosukee people call Southwest Florida Everglades region, is a longtime friend of mine, a guest, and as is the custom of Wolf Mountain Native Radio, we prefer our guest to introduce him or herself so that how they are expressed is the most comfortable with. So without any further comment on my part, I'd like to say, Ashwe, greetings, welcome, and thank you for being on the program today.
Thank you, ONS. My name is Raven Lamoureux-Dodd, and I'm originally from Montreal. I grew up with an American father, Canadian mother, two languages, two religions, my childhood, and I am a professional life and business coach and also a ceremonialist and sacred artist. And I am very involved in helping people connect with our Great Mother and with Wakantanka, the Great Spirit.
When we talk about ceremony and prayer, what comes to my mind through my own teachings and upbringing in my Wabanaki culture is the simple term of having reverence for life, of just having respect, and also to be able to listen, and not only listen to your own heart and your inner self, but listen to the earth, listen to the trees, and listen to the wind and the animal and waters, just what in English is called nature. And many of our ways of knowledge and wisdoms and ceremonies, not only are they derived from nature, but also a lot of those who are qualified to speak and share and teach these things in many indigenous societies like my own are our women, our matriarchies. And yet we are living now in the end of the 21st century. We just been through the 20th century. In my mind, that's been pretty much dominated by pretty much a white European American male type of mentality, type of, I don't know if the word energy is right, but part of the disconnection that I see in the world is because people are not able to listen, and also the voice of peace and knowledge to women has also been pretty much suffocated. How do you deal with the majority of culture that is still so kind of conditioned, ingrained, that the power structure is male-orientated, where a lot of the wisdom and knowledge has always been passed down through the grandmothers and through Mother Earth, through the female energy?
That's another great question that I want to ask. I belong to the American Business Women's Association, and I'm past president and been very involved in various women's groups. And what I'm seeing out in the business world is that there are a lot of men who are waking up and going, "Oh boy, these business women seem to know what they're doing." And one of the reasons is that women in business will often are good at team building. They'll cooperate with each other. It's more cooperation rather than competition. So it's bringing another energy into the workplace, okay, into the business world. And I see this in the mainstream business world. And I always find this very interesting because, you know, there are men who feel threatened by this and they'll go, yeah, right, well, they're, you know, they may own a company or whatever, but, you know, it's still the command and control culture as far as we're concerned. That is shifting. That's definitely shifting. Women, in many ways, are making changes. Listening, as you pointed out, is part of our receptive nature. I mean, unless we can be receptive, we can't listen. As a coach, it's one of the things I talk on to business groups a lot is basically listening, just listening, because you miss so much when you don't. I think that of all of the cultures that I've connected with, you know, the indigenous peoples are the ones who listen to the women the most. And that's not always true, but in certainly Native American and
historical times.
And currently, even in currently. Like a young red man might not, you know, who's like 20 years old or whatever, might not really want to listen, but he knows that when the women speak, there's a part of him that goes, pay attention, you know, the grandmothers are talking. We are slowly, I think, men are waking up to their own receptive nature and recognizing that they have a feminine side. It's been a long time coming, and as women are waking up to the fact that they have a warrior side, they have a male side, and they have to learn how to focus their energy. Men have to learn how to listen and be receptive and allow their creative sides to blossom, and women have to learn how to take all this raw power of our goddess nature, of our great mother, and focus that in with our male energy into a vision, and manifest it. Okay, so both men have to learn and women have to learn, and we're all trying to find that place where we understand. In conducting ceremony and teaching it over the years, most of my clients or attendees, if you will, have been women. Yet, there have been a lot more men than I expected that really connect with ceremony. Once they understand that there's something in it for them, it will help them connect with themselves, whatever it is to get them there, once they start doing it, it's very powerful. All the ways that we are working toward helping people connect with themselves and with spirit and with the environment are all, you know, there's all these different ways, spokes in the wheel that we're working on, and sooner or later it's all going to gel. We're going to reach a critical mass. It's going to make sense. But sometimes now it looks like we're not really getting there, you know. But we are. We really are getting there. More men are learning that women are in touch with their receptive side. They're in touch with their wisdom. And men can be just as in touch if they'll honor it, if they'll let it happen.
Oftentimes when we hear the term ceremony or prayer or ritual, in some people's minds that connotates a very complicated and perhaps even long-time commitment of an activity. Sometimes it might even be thought of as having to, quote, take some time away from your everyday life routine and devote yourself to a particular place or a particular activity. And that's very much true, especially in my understanding of my own tribal spirituality. We do have very specific ceremonies at different times of the year when the whole community will stop whatever its daily routine is and come together. For example, our Sekwana Kiwash, our planning New Year's ceremonies, where for 4 days you know, people come together and pray and fast. But I want to have our conversation move in the concept that ceremony doesn't necessarily have to be a very long, drawn-out, complicated process. Ceremony is also something that should and can be done every day, and it can be, I hate to use the word simple because that's misused a lot in English, but it can be, in a sense, very simple. Myself, I try every morning when I wake up just to say a greetings of thanks to the Great Spirit, thank the great giver of life, the breath maker, for this new day. And I would like for you to talk about how important it is, and maybe, quote, easy it is for people to also do personal ceremony every day, not to think of it as something that you have to, you know, stop what you're doing and devote yourself to a whole different way of life, because personal ceremony is as important as community ceremony. At least that's my thinking and teachings. Would you agree with that? And if so, can you talk about how everyone out there who might be listening to this throughout the world can, in their own personal lives, do personal ceremony to help them reconnect themselves with their own spirit heart?
Certainly. I'm going to preface that, though. When you began, you were talking about how some people might think this is takes days and days of commitment. What I find in talking about ceremony to the, for lack of a better word, the white world, they'll say, "Well, what do you mean by ceremony?" Mm-hmm. The only thing that they have to relate that to is something like a wedding they've been to. And maybe the wedding they've been to, the ceremony, it lasted all of 2 minutes. You know, they came down the aisle, and it's like, you know, there was an address, and then there was, you know, this and that, and a couple, some vows, and you can kiss the bride. And, you know, so they say, okay, well, yeah, how do I relate that to the rest of my life? So, it's the opposite. Some people have the idea of a ceremony as being something, you know, like, or a graduation ceremony where you handed a scroll. You know, they don't have a framework to put this in. They don't have a clue. So we got to find that balance somewhere in the middle. And I think that if a person does shorter ceremony and simple ceremony at first, if they really have a calling to connect, or they really have a passion to connect with ceremony, they're going to find themselves doing the 4-day one because they want to, not because they have to. You know, they're going to suddenly find themselves there because they are passionate about it. They want to do it. So that I needed to say that in the beginning. One of the things that something that's become very popular out there at the moment is the whole concept of feng shui, you know, the oriental ceremony or practice of placement of objects and the energies and so on. And so people are beginning, that's helping too. That's kind of one of those spokes in the wheel that's helping to open people up to the idea that things have energy, colors have energy, the placement of things in certain areas has a reason. They don't necessarily understand all the deeper meaning, but they're beginning to Yeah, it's like when you see somebody doing Tai Chi on the beach now, it's not like, oh, what's he doing? It's like, oh, that's that Oriental Tai Chi, I think it's called. So they have a framework to put it in, okay? So this is something it's one of these things where I'm talking about the critical mass. As people begin to have frameworks to put these concepts in, then they'll start to be able to see it in another culture. It'll make sense to them. But one of the things that I think that is very important in all ceremony is the sacred balance of the elements and the directions and the relations and the involvement of the various relations in that. In other words, I never do a ceremony myself without honoring the four directions, the four winds. I usually sometimes see them as the four winds, but I usually see them as the four elements, you know, as air, fire, water, and earth. And then, of course, or the seven, you know, with upper and lower and the center, however you're doing it. But to me, that sets a framework within which to do a ceremony is honoring let's just say the four directions for now. Okay, so that, let's say you get up in the morning and you want to do a little ceremony. Something as simple as, you know, having something to symbolize each of the four directions. So let's say that in the east, well, the east is the wind, it's the air, it's the eagle, it's the birds, it's the winged ones. It's new beginnings. So a feather, a simple feather. It can be a grand feather. It can be a simple little feather. In the south is the fire. You know, a candle will suffice. The west is depending, of course, on the tribe, depending on the tradition. But I'll go with what I usually work with the west as being water. You know, so you could use a bowl of water. You could use a shell. And then the north, the earth. You know, you could use a rock, a stone person. You could use corn. You could use something that. And so the west is about cleansing. It's about the spirit world. It's about going within. It's like the bear going into his cave. It's like it's going in. It's going within to talk to the spirits, to go deep within yourself. And of course, the north. It's the structure. The north is the place of courage, of purity, of foundation. It's the earth. It gives us a structure, a framework to put our vision in. Okay, right away you've set yourself up a nice little framework to sit in. You know, get yourself in the center and, you know, place the four elements around you in their directions and then talk to the four directions, just honoring them, dialoguing with the air and the fire and the water and the earth and then great mystery. Right away, you've already set up a little sacred space. You've called in help. You might call in an animal for each direction. So say you called in the eagle for the east and you called the gentle deer in the south. You know, the south is also about unconditional love. It's about trust. It's about innocence. Maybe you call the bear in the west, or maybe you call one of the fish people, you know, a whale or a dolphin. And in the north, maybe you call buffalo or perhaps moose. And so right now you have called in your relations, your brothers and sisters, to be with you. Now you have a little space, and you can meditate. You can set intention. You can say, today I am going to, every act I'm going to do, everything I'm going to say, I'm going to come from a place of integrity. That's quite a statement. And that's a nice little ceremony. And so, Great Spirit, and Wakandanka, help me to do this. Show me how to do this and how to bring your energy in my heart out to the people around me all day. And then perhaps you might meditate for a bit, and perhaps you might pray for some other people. And then you might close your ceremony by saying thank you to everyone and goodbye and whatever. That's a very short, little, easy ceremony. And doesn't take long. But boy, that's a lot different than just sitting down and meditating for a couple of minutes. You've put some energy. There's nothing wrong with meditating, don't get me wrong. But you've really, you've made a statement. You have made a statement. You've acted on it. You've put energy in it. You've put power in it. You've honored your relations. You've taken the time to dialogue with Great Spirit. Wow, that's a way to start the day. And that took 10 minutes? You know, and then you can get on the treadmill if you want, or do whatever you're going to do. You know, the other rituals that we do to keep us healthy. One of my friends, you know, says that, you know, when he gets in the shower in the morning, you know, and the water is coming down on him, then he really gets into the energy of water. And he doesn't just take a shower. He cleanses his mind, body, and spirit in the shower. He concentrates on the energy of the water on all the levels, not just the physical washing himself. You know, he allows the water to cleanse his spirit, his mind, his emotions. So there's a lot of things you can do by just paying attention and having intention. Paying attention and having intention and honoring, you know, even if you're having a romantic dinner and you're lighting candles, you just brought in fire. That's powerful. And if you do that in an honoring, reverent way, boy, that sure sets a different energy in your room than if you just, I'll light the candle, throw me the lighter. You know, there's a very different energy there than lighting the candle and saying, welcome, my fire brother. You know, that's welcome the sun into this room. You know, that's powerful. So it's being mindful of your actions, mindful of your thoughts, mindful of your talk. Well, when you do ceremony, you're taking even more responsibility.
Listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kitichi Native Center. Yat Kitichi Native Center defends Mother Earth and the cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center is an intertribal, culture and arts, environmental protection, social justice, and news media organization. Yat Kitichi Native Center portrays Native peoples and their worldviews in a more accurate and in-depth depiction of both our ancestral and contemporary cultures. Yat Kitichi Native Center serves to educate by providing a deeper understanding of our diverse cultures, arts, values, histories, and contemporary situations. Yat Kitichi tries to honor traditional ways by instilling an appreciation and respect for Mother Earth and tribal peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center educates the public on important issues facing Indigenous communities. We work in support of intertribal, cultural, environmental, and social justice issues by networking with other organizations and events which share our concerns. Yat Kitichi Native Center serves as a focal point for Native news and information. We maintain a documentary library for networking with the Native and international press. Yat Kitichi Native Center's Speakers Bureau provides spokespersons for school programs, conference speakers, and community presentations. Yat Kitichi Native Center is experienced in planning, promoting Native forums, symposiums, powwows, and cultural events. Yat Kitichi's Mishkwinataki Environment Program protects Mother Earth through conservation and restoration projects. Yat Kitichi's environmental education program focuses on curriculum development, teacher training, and nature field trips. We are members of the professional organization, the North American Association of Environmental Education. Yakirichi's Kinonwatakusin Native Arts creates quality handcrafted traditional and contemporary fine arts. Please request our catalog of custom flutes, pottery, beaded necklaces, bracelets, earrings, leather pouches, hat bands, and chokers with bone. Yatkidichi Native Center's Wolf Mountain Radio Program, Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, honors Native American and Indigenous peoples throughout the world by being a voice for our ancestors, contemporary, and future generations. Please write us for our catalog of audio tapes available for purchase. Native peoples throughout the world are concerned for the well-being of sacred Mother Earth, tribal sovereignty, and respect for cultural lifeways. If you appreciate hearing Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, we ask you, our listeners, to help financially support our program to stay on the air. Wolf Mountain Radio is an all-volunteer production. Any financial contribution to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices will be greatly appreciated. We thank you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Please feel free to contact us about our consulting services, or if you or your organization is interested in hosting a speaker or educational forum. To contact Yatkidichi Native Center, write to Yatkidichi Native Center, 1731 16th Avenue Northeast, Naples, Florida, 34120, USA. Yatkidichi Native Center sincerely thanks you. Aho Kinowatakusin to all of our relations.
The previous song you heard prior to our Yatkidichi Native Center program identification was music from Native American flutist Anthony Wakeman off his Canyon Records CD entitled Butterfly Dreams. That song was Grandmother's Prayer. We featured that title in honor of Nui Sogabia, Western Shoshone grandmother, Mary Dan, who recently passed into the spirit world and to whom we dedicate today's program to. As mentioned in today's introduction, the Dan family exemplify what it means to protect Mother Earth and defend the rights of indigenous peoples. This is the purpose of Yatkidichi Native Center and our Wolf Mountain Native Radio program. My guest today is Reverend Lamoureux Dodd, founder of Coach Force, a consulting service that helps people reconnect themselves with their spirit through personal ceremony in order to live more in balance on the Mother Earth. If you wish to learn more about Raven's programs, visit her website, www.coachforce.com. I want to again thank you for sharing your thoughts today on honoring Mother Earth and Indigenous voices. Raven, my last question concerns itself with hope for the future. Indigenous peoples offer prayers for the well-being of Mother Earth and future generations. Many Native ceremonies are undertaken in order to try to keep Mother Earth healthy, in order that future generations may also live well. We pray for clean air and water, for fertile soil. We offer prayer songs to the animal and plant life, the tree relations, the fish and marine life, our winged beings, all sacred life, or as we say in my native language, Kinonwatakusin, all of our relations. Traditional cultural lifeways of indigenous peoples throughout the world are based on ceremony, based on a spiritual connection to all life and the Great Spirit. This is what many of us term the Red Road. To harm the earth in any way is considered a crime among tribal peoples. Our spirituality, our ceremonies, provide ethics and guidance on how to live in peace with all the relations. This is why the protection of sacred sites, showing proper respect for ceremony, caring for sacred artifacts, such as prayer bundles, and not misusing or selling sacred songs in ceremonies, is considered so important to indigenous peoples. After more than 500 years of colonization, genocide and desecration to native lands and communities around the world, it is very important that non-native people learn from the wisdom and ethics of indigenous peoples, so long as this learning is not another type of cultural theft, control, or mimicry of native spirituality. This is especially important considering how seriously we humans have negatively impacted our sacred Mother Earth. This is why most every Wolf Mountain Radio program focuses on the variety of issues facing our planet. I don't need to go through a litany of cultural, environmental, social, economic, sustainability, or justice issues, as I'm sure listeners to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, are well aware of the many threatening problems impacting Mother Earth. We at Yakitishi Native Center truly hope that in this new millennium, they develop an earth ethic of reverence for all life. I see personal ceremony an important practice for this need. Raven, what are your thoughts about the future? Do you have hope?
I do have hope. There are moments when I'm surrounded in despair, but I do have hope. Without hope, you can't focus and you can't create, because there would be no reason, would there? I definitely think that around the world there is local network people, and also I have a nephew who's very involved in environmental issues around all over the world. He travels all over the world. We find ourselves in a very interesting time in North America, and especially the United States right now. The country is polarized right down the center. Half the country are Democrats, half are Republicans. Democrats, as you know, tend to be a little more environmentally conscious, as a big generalization here. In fact, living here in the South, you know, of the United States, I find for the first time in my life that about half of my very close friends are Democrats and who are very leaning in terms of environment and so on. Half of my very close friends are Republicans who have totally different political views than I have. And I find it interesting that we're facing a country like this, that there really is a polarization. Now, what the scary part is when we can't, like they say in politics, reach across the aisle. I do not agree politically with my Republican friends, but we have many values in common, and that's what I focus on. These people respect who I am. They respect the kind of work I do. They never heard of anything like this before, and one of the reasons they respect it is because I don't shut them out because we have different political beliefs. I reach across to find the values that we do have in common and work on those. And many of these people do ceremony with me. They may not tell their minister, but they do ceremony with me because they recognize this value here. And slowly but surely, they begin to recognize that maybe some of the things that they thought are, you know, there's a different perspective on this. And so what I try to do with people, show them different perspectives. It's not that you're wrong and I'm right, but let's look at another perspective here. Okay. So I have hope because I see in my own interaction with people, I see people who you would never have thought would open up, start to open up. There's a reason why this country split down the middle. I don't know what the answer is, ONS. I think that Great Spirit does. We don't have the answer. And in my little mind, I certainly don't know why we have to go through all of this. But I think that it's a question of honoring each other and communicating with each other and trying not to let our anger and our emotions get in the way, because then we shut them out. We shut people out. And we don't, we miss out on some wisdom that they may have, or we miss out on a way to show them another perspective that might help them open up. I do have hope. We wouldn't all be going through all of this for nothing. What would an exercise in futility? for this planet, for all of us to be going through all the struggles we're going through with war, with lack of respect for the earth, with lack of respect for women in some of the cultures, with lack of respect for each other's religious beliefs and so on. This is all happening for a reason. It has to be happening for a reason. There's lessons for all of us to learn here. And each one of us has to learn it our own way and for our own reasons. But I do have hope. I have tremendous hope. I believe in the two-legged's ability sooner or later to get it. And I just hope that they start listening to their other relations. And I do everything I can, and I know you do also, and many of us do, everything we can to help other two-leggeds listen to the rest of our relations, because they have so many powerful lessons to teach us. And on that, I'm going to say greetings to all my relations, and thank you.
From the Northern Cree drum, High Noon. The particular song was a grass dance song. Well, dear friends, we're nearing the end of our broadcast time together for this edition of Wolf Mountain Native Radio. We shall conclude with a beautiful song entitled Path with a Heart. And this is from Sequoia Records, David and Steve Gordon's sacred drum, visions. Until the next Wolf Mountain Native Radio, this is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker, thanking you for listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. Aho, Kenan Wantakwasin, to all of our relations.
I see a wave of people connecting more. I tend to listen to the BBC World Service and different